whilst he was cutting the tax credits and now the universal credit to ordinary working families on middle, low and earnings, and some of them are much poorer, he was at the same time cutting inheritance tax to the top richest 6% in this country. Absolutely staggering. At the same time, he's reducing corporation taxes down to 18p, the lowest in the G7. And what does that mean for the corporations? Well, the idea is that they attract new companies into the country. You have this trickle-down effect of wealth. It isn't. It's a trickling up, to be frank. And most of the companies, we are corporations now, have taken the tax cuts, and are they reinvesting? No, they're paying it out in the bonus level shares they've never seen before on such a scale. But in addition to that, they're sitting on now about 400, we think maybe 500 billion worth of earned income and not investing. Again, it just shows you the sort of difference in values that this government has in terms of what they believe in terms of redistribution of wealth, and what we believe should be basically a foundation of social justice, which actually those with the most pay, so that those without can actually receive some basic decent public services. So all through that campaign, literally thousands of people were turning up at public meetings, raising their issues, and we were responding in that engagement with very basic policies that attracted them. And when it came to issues like, for example, war and peace, we argued that Britain's role now shouldn't be a military role in the world. Our role should be leading on conflict prevention and conflict resolution. And for that reason, why do we need Trident? Why do we need £100 billion? All that was put forward in the campaign was a basis of very rational policies, very straightforward policies that people in themselves had suggested, basically, but were in tune with people's own beliefs. And then after the campaign, we literally halfway through the campaign, we thought we could win. And we started getting serious about the preparation to go into the administration. We took nothing for granted. We used every professional mechanism we could. We used social media. And we knew that the media were not going to give us the press weren't going to give us a look in. In fact, they either attacked us or disparaged us or sought to, I say, patronise us to a certain extent. And don't think there's a liberal media in this country. Don't talk to me about the Guardian. what happened in the usual, the Mail and all the rest of it did their usual number on us. But in the Guardian, there was a battle going on virtually every day between left and right. And the right dominated in terms of refusing to back Jeremy. It's interesting, the number of readers that were writing in now to say, why don't you just give him the fair crack of the whip? Why don't you at least cover some of the stuff that he's saying rather than distortions that were being put in the paper? But despite all that was thrown at us in terms of the media, because of the public meetings that we were doing on such a scale, what Jeremy was doing, I told him I wasn't going to tour around the country with him. It would have lasted a summer wine on tour. But because of all the meetings that we were doing all around the country, and because of the use of social media that we've never had on this scale before, we were able to communicate the policies, and we were able to win the support. Each week, or every other day, virtually, we'd put out some sort of policy document. We'd put them up on the web. We'd get 10, 20,000 responses on them in detail on that policy document overnight. It's absolutely extraordinary, intensive engagement in politics that we haven't seen before. The only time we've seen it, to be honest, is up in Scotland, when the SNP and others were campaigning around the referendum, and I saw the young people involved. And that sort of infected this country, Britain, England as well. At the end of it, on our final, we had telephone banks all around the country phoning people up to get the vote out. Membership was increasing dramatically all the time, not just the £3 supporters, but full members as well. We've doubled the Labour Party membership in a matter of 5 months. I think it's good. We're now becoming a mass party again, a social movement. I think we should aim for 1 million members and build up that way. But what came out of it, in our last round of telephone bank work, in the last week, all our returns were coming in saying we were getting about 55 to 60% of the vote. And on the day itself, when we went into the QE2 conference centre, Jeremy and I went into the green with the other candidates, and actually the whole campaign was incredibly comradely. All the other candidates, to give them their due, there was friendliness, there was mutual support, there was no No splits or backbiting or anything like that. It was extremely friendly. We went into the green room and they came out and gave us the results first. And Jeremy got elected, as you know, on 59.5%, the biggest mandate any political leader has had in this country. And by far, what does he then do? He goes down, makes his speech, which I thought was excellent. The first act of the new Labour leader was to do what? It was to join the march for refugees. Yes. And I think that's a to join the march to protect and support the most vulnerable people within our society was a huge breakthrough, I think. And then he put together a shadow cabinet, again, trying to reflect all the different wings within the Parliamentary Labour Party, went to the PLP, and again put that forward. And it's formed an administration. And we've been there now for 8 weeks. And it's tough. It is tough. The press and media have come at us all the way. The Times are doing a thing that killed the MacDonald archives. They're now back to 1975. I'm worried about my nursery school teachers. The Daily Mail, it's gone somewhere in my constituency that went around asking for anything they could pick up. They visited virtually every one of my relatives. I was married previously, and they contacted my former wife up north and her husband, who are good friends of mine, etc., and offered them money for an article. I said, take the money, do the have a holiday or whatever. People have remained incredibly loyal. And one newspaper put an advert in the newspaper saying, did you ever know John MacDonald? And a woman wrote in and said, John MacDonald sat next to me at primary school in St Mary's, and he used to whisper the maths answers to me so I didn't get caned by Sister Pancratia. I said that now. You can see the Daily Mail cut headline. Sarah Chancellor cheating again. But it just goes on and on and on. But to be frank, I think what's happened is that people who welcome Jeremy's leadership is a breath of fresh air.
Yes.
But I think what's happened is people feel engaged again in politics again. But also, I think they also cut through all the media rubbish. And they actually, I think now people are much more discerning. They have social media. We're trying to make sure we use live media as well, because if it's unedited, you can get your message across as best you can. No matter what the interviewer throws at you, you can come across and get those ideas. And I don't know whether you saw Jeremy on Andrew Marr on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
I thought it was one of the best political interviews I've ever seen. We've had some problems, not least because of my jokes. I promised him not to do anymore, but I can't help myself. I'm from a Liberal originally, I'm a Scouser, and it just happens. So I'm doing my best. But it has been tough, and to be frank, what we've tried to do is mobilise our supporters and mobilise the whole of the Labour Party. And there was a lot of people who were saying at the end of the campaign, we want to keep campaigning. So of course we do. We want to be a social movement now. Vernon Coker, who's our Shadow Secretary for Northern Ireland, at our first Shadow Cabinet meeting, they're confidential, but I'll tell you anyway. Vernon, I think, said something very, very profound, which is, he said, look, we're moving, we're changing. We're no longer the old-style hierarchical political party. We're moving. I'm not sure what we're moving to, but actually we've got to go with it. And I think what we're moving to is a social movement where people are engaged. They want their representatives to be accountable. They want to be involved in developing the policy process. But in addition to that, they want to be involved in arguing for those policies and campaigning for those policies. So we've always said we want to be a campaigning party. Well, we are now. We are now. But every now and again, there will be issues that come up. Not many, but there'll be issues that come up that could cause division within the party. And what we're saying, and this is really one of the messages of our campaign, Jeremy, was what we said, you know, this is going to be a new politics. And it's going to be a kind of politics to reflect his character. I'm still on the court at the moment. And it is about respecting other people's point of view. And I keep saying, don't in any way... Do not in any way think that democracy is dissent. It isn't.